Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to the Kaleidoscope Podcast, where the Lorehound's your guides to a multicolor heist. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage of the Netflix original series, Kaleidoscope, the Pink episode, which is 6 months after the heist. Each podcast, we're going to cover an episode of this unique show that allows you to watch in any order you want. We will avoid spoilers for the other episodes on each podcast until the final episode, which should be white for all viewers. Check the show notes for our full watch order.
In this episode, we'll be doing a scene-by-scene breakdown of the episode titled Pink. As Netflix has randomized the viewing order for each user, be sure to manually select each episode if you want to follow along with us.
A reminder, you can send us feedback to lorehounds at thelorehounds.com or leave us a voicemail at thelorehounds.com/contact. And we'll get to those on our season wrap-up podcast, which is now combined with the White episode, and that will air on Saturday, January 28th.
If you want to keep talking Kaleidoscope with us, join us over at the Bald Move Discord, link in the show notes and at baldmove.com. We have a well-moderated server and dedicated thread set up for Kaleidoscope. Each episode is siloed so you can join the conversations at any time without fear of spoilers.
A quick reminder about our Patreon. If you like what we're doing and you feel like you would like to support us directly, check us out at patreon.com/thelorehounds. For just $3 a month, you get ad-free versions of all of our podcasts, early access, and more.
Of course, you can get our ad-supported podcast on our Lorehounds feed by searching for us on your podcast application of choice or using our new subscription tool on thelorehounds.com. So, David, what were your impressions of Pink?
This was a tough episode to watch in a lot of ways because we've been with all these characters through a whole bunch of stuff now, and this episode was just ugly in a lot of ways. It was really rough, and not all the outcomes, like, this is not a Cinderella story by any means.
Right.
So it was tough. It was tough to watch.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, if this was your first episode, I don't know if you continue. Right. Maybe write in. If this was your first episode, definitely write in, because I'm curious if you kept going, if you just came in to chat with us for this one episode and then you stopped because it was too depressing. I don't know.
We don't want to get into the whole issue yet on this part of the podcast about, like, you know, you can watch it in any order and all this kind of stuff. There are definitely episodes that I think were not good choices for potential first viewing.
Right.
I think this one, I think maybe Violet, those. Yeah, I agree with you. If this was your first one, it could be tough. And I don't wonder, because we've heard some new, you know, there's some articles out there. Some people did some sleuthing that maybe it wasn't truly as random as Netflix was billing. Like, they may have sort of pushed forward several blocks of order, you know, like, oh, there's like an A, a B, and a C block, and each one had a particular order. So I don't think it was truly randomized.
There will be no 8-sided die at Netflix.
Allusion to Jim and Aaron rolling dice to pick the episode orders. That said, if you did see this one as your first, definitely let us know, because we'd love to hear your impressions.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this. I watched this again today to do the outline. This was my second time, and I did like it better this time. After seeing White, after seeing everything else,
right.
I do think that it is a nice last episode, and it says a lot of interesting things, which is why the random order doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I do think that this gave me a lot of good closure. And yeah. I don't know. I think that this should have just been the last episode.
It means, what about a White, you know, starting off with White and then ending with Pink? And then in the middle, you could just do a bunch of a big scramble. But that would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you got like all the stakes and the, you know, you got the heist and then like there's all kinds of elements in there. Like, well, how did this end up being? And how did that end up being? And then they could unfold that in the middle and then give you Pink at the end where it's like, yeah, things didn't work out necessarily the way that everybody thought that they would.
Yeah. I still think Yellow was my favorite opener. And that might just be because it opened for me. But yeah, I think that that is a great episode that like sort of introduces everybody in an interesting way and sets the stakes. So I think that's the best opener, but I think Pink would be the best closer.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's right. We started with Yellow, and I do agree that that was a really good one to start with.
Yeah. All right, David. Well, let's get into our scene-by-scene breakdown. Now, I've combined some scenes here and sort of jumped around a little bit to make it make sense, keep some of the same characters working in the same paragraph. So if you are seeing something out of order, that's just because I'm trying to make it a little bit more linear.
Did the message in the medium, is this a shippy test situation? No, I'm kidding. Sorry. I don't want to get
there will be no shippy test on this podcast. We're not going that deep here.
Moving on.
Okay, so first off, Bob shaves his scarred neck while Nazan outlines the still-off-the-grid heist crew to her team of FBI agents. Leo returns home with shaking hands.
What happened to Bob? Right? Like, big question.
What did happen to Bob?
Yeah. Very scary. Because I think in some of the, well, we can't talk about other episodes, but yeah, it's, this one is clearly, it's a nice setup for stuff that's going to pay off later, for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good tease.
Definitely. Not much to say about this part, so let's move on. Bob gets approval to visit Roger in prison and asks him for $50,000 to get revenge using a text-to-speech app. Roger agrees as long as Bob kills Leo Pop.
So Roger in prison. Again, yeah, if you didn't know who Roger was, like, why is this dude in prison and why does he want to kill this guy Leo?
Right. I think they made clear that, like, Roger was the one they robbed when Bob explained, right. Like, I was one of the crew that took everything from you.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Good exposition.
So you do know a little bit here. And again, I think that this show does do a good job of, like, making excuses for characters to do some exposition with dialogue just to tell the audience, like, that was a good example.
Right.
All right, so Leo struggles through his daily routine and dodges calls from Stan asking for the bonds. Later, Leo struggles with a swimming physical therapy session, and Ava picks him up.
These are tough scenes to watch with Leo, clearly suffering the effects of his condition.
Mysterious condition.
Yes, the mysterious condition. Which is seems to be a real condition. I think in another podcast, you theorized that it might not have been a theory.
Right. So no, I've been proven wrong here.
Taking some internet points off your table there.
I have some to spare. Take all you want.
Fair enough.
I have $7 billion in internet points.
Internet bonds. Internet bonds. Fair enough. Yeah, tough. And again, we see Ava and Leo here very well, very strongly connected, very bonded. A lot of care from Ava towards Leo.
Yeah, there's an intimacy here.
Yeah.
All right, so Bob hires two men to help him recover the bonds and kill the crew. On the road, one of the henchmen recommends a relationship podcast to Bob to help win Judy back. The men force the fence to tell them where Leo and Ava are and then kill the fence. Okay, first of all, I just want to say, I looked up the woman's name who hosts the podcast to see if it's a real podcast. It is not a real podcast.
Okay, all right.
I thought that would be so funny if they picked a real like relationship right. skills podcast, but they did not.
I'm sure there is similar content out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they modeled it off of something.
Right.
This very much had echoes of Fargo for me, the movie, the original movie.
Okay.
With Steve Buscemi and his partner and sort of, or even, what was the Guy Ritchie movie with the guns? Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, like the two bumbling sort of criminals. Like, oh, this is like, you could just tell like straight away, nothing good is going to come from, you know, this triumvirate and their hunt for Leo and the crew. It's going to get messy.
Bob is only slightly more competent than them. He's like better at committing crimes than they are, but right. He is certainly not a smarter person than they are.
Mm.
So anyway, they get the information from the fence, right? So that's a big deal. That is the first time that somebody has figured out how to get to somebody. And this is maybe the fault of Ava for being sloppy enough to let Bob find out where the fence was. Because Ava definitely left some loose ends. And like, why does the fence know where Ava is?
Right. Sloppy. I think everybody's kind of panicking and sloppy and being sloppy here.
I think everyone's kind of like, well, if we get caught, we get caught now. We already lost the bonds.
Right.
Okay. Stan and Judy run a con on someone to sell them cheap wine at a premium price. Stan chickens out. Judy hallucinates RJ, and Stan and Judy argue about whether Leo will help them.
Yeah, I did. I was so confused at the initial part of the scene because I really did. I thought that are they actually in South Africa? Like, what are they? You know, what's going on here? But it turns out they're just in the Carolinas or something.
Right. Yeah. It was an interesting accent that each of them put on.
Yeah.
That's right. And I'll give you $200 to split that with me right now.
It was such an obvious con.
I know. But Captain Charlson was buying it.
Yep, he was. And such small stakes, too.
I know.
But I guess it belies their desperation.
And I will say, I did appreciate that they carried the through line of, like, Stan as a food snob and is like, no, you can't just tell them it tastes like this. They'll be able to tell what the wine tastes like. And Judy's like, no, they won't. What do you think? Where do you fall on this?
They both have points, I think. I think it's true. I think for if you're not trained, I think you could be easily led astray. But if you do have some training and some experience, I think you cannot be fooled. So, I mean, I think that guy could be totally fooled. I totally agree.
Right.
With that. Their mark was a mark.
Right.
For sure.
Easy mark.
For sure. Easy mark.
Almost as easy as Albie from the White Lotus.
Yes. I miss Albie.
I miss Albie too. The White Lotus won a lot of awards, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting. Did you see how drunk Mike White was at the Golden
Globes? No, I didn't see.
Oh, it was amazing. I recommend everyone go watch that video. He's like,
okay.
He was like, you know, complimenting everybody. And then he's like, well, this feels good to be up here because all you people passed on my show.
In so your face. Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. No, that was a good speech. Go look it up on YouTube. Anyway, yes, I think that Judy has a point. I also think that Stan is just an anxious person, and Stan is definitely the more cautious of the two.
So this thing with Judy thinking that she sees RJ in the hallway, I was trying to figure out what that was about. I mean, like, why is she have that stuck in his head? Something must have happened in the White episode with RJ and her. So obviously setting us up for some sort of crises between Judy and RJ.
Right. I mean, at that point, I will say when I saw this episode, I was like, is he just missing? Like, did he just disappear during it?
That's right, because we don't see RJ at all in this one.
And especially because you don't know where the bonds are.
Right.
Like, did RJ take the bonds? My thought was, like, did she see RJ and go, like, oh, crap, he has the bonds. Maybe he's here to give them to us. Or maybe he's, you know, hiding out here, too. But he has the money and we can get it from him. But I think it was a desperation thing at that point. But then, you know, now I'm spoiled for other stuff.
Right. Fair enough.
All right. So Stan tells Judy he burned down his life for this, but it was worth it if he can be with her. They discuss options to make money, and she gives him a bracelet to pawn. Stan tries to pawn the bracelet, and the pawn shop worker recognizes it.
Yeah. Tough to talk about this bracelet without spoiling any other episodes. But if you've seen other episodes, you know the significance of this bracelet.
Right.
And if you haven't seen the other episodes, this bracelet is significant.
And you know what? Like, you know enough from the end of this episode that, like, it is something that can be linked to these people.
Right.
There is a reason that Nizan chases this.
Right. Exactly. And it's clearly a device that has a lot of ramifications across the entire storyline.
Right. This is the inciting incident, really.
Kind of, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. The coming into possession of the bracelet in, God, what episode was that? Was that Blue or I don't remember.
I believe that was Green.
It was early on, Green.
No, it was Yellow. Yeah. It was Yellow. It was the first one we watched.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I think you're right. This coming into possession of this bracelet has huge ramifications that echo across the entire heist scenario. Yeah. So pretty important little piece of, pretty important little trinket.
Did Chekhov manufacture this one too?
It's totally like the, yeah, Chekhov's maker's mark is totally stamped in the back of the silver of this bracelet.
Man, maybe he has the 7 billion.
Yeah. But he's dead, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, Nizan is told to stop messing with the triplets and that she has 2 weeks left for her investigation. Later, Nizan gets a call that leads her to go to South Carolina and follow the lead of the pawn shop.
Well, here we have Nizan pushing boundaries again and causing troubles.
Yeah. She doesn't know when to stop, but also this is a good lead. This is a good lead. So
yeah,
I think that lead. If this one doesn't work out, she should stop. But who knows? I guess we do because we finished the episode already.
That's right.
Leo has a seizure and fantasizes about another heist with Ava. She says she wants Ray and tells him to answer the stack of letters from Hannah, his daughter. Ava answers Stan's phone and learns that the pawnbroker clocked the bracelet.
Yeah, so just more uncomfortable. None of these characters, like, it's, you, I guess you could kind of put this together if you haven't seen any of the other episodes. But these characters are all reaping, I guess, what they've sown, because this is just, they're living in desperate straits. Things are not going well. There's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, and not fun to watch these characters sort of slip down these slopes.
No, it's a super depressing episode. But like, yeah. I said, I liked it a lot better the second time. I thought this was one of the better done episodes.
Maybe from a story construction standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
It felt very nicely tied up at the end. And I felt like things that should have been left open were left open.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, no, I like this one.
Fair enough.
All right. So Bob listens to his relationship podcast, writes letters to Judy, and then beats up one of the henchmen because they read his letters. Oh, God. This was just funny.
Yeah, it's just, it's a fun take on the whole self-help industry. And then to have such an odious guy like Bob actually doing the work, right? You know, and trying to, like, be a better human being. Well, he's doing it for selfish reasons, right? He just wants Judy back.
I want to break our patterns right after I kill Stan. Is that really doing the work, or is that just like saying what a podcaster said to say?
Well, it's a means to an end to him, right? He's got one thing on his mind, and that's get Judy back and kill Leo.
Right.
Oh, and get the bonds. I think he would sacrifice Judy. If it were the bonds or Judy, he would sacrifice Judy.
I don't know. That's debatable, I think. Mm-hmm. Because he does seem pretty fixated on her.
Yeah, I still think he'd take the money over her.
Well, we'll never know, will we?
No, certainly not.
Okay, so Leo and Ava confirm that Stan blew their cover and learn that the fence got taken out and decide to leave. Bob and his henchmen arrive at Leo and Ava's house and get into a shootout with Ava. Ava kills one of the hired men but is captured. Bob uses text-to-speech to threaten her and ask for his cut. As Bob searches the house, he is hit by Teresa with a cleaver in the shoulder.
The shootout with Ava, like, well, I love the fact that she's just literally guns stashed in everywhere. Yeah. But that her and this guy just keep missing each other is, like, so infuriating. I mean, it's comic relief kind of stuff.
They may as well be stormtroopers.
Right. Just hitting the broadside of the hangar here with their blasters. But it does create some nice dramatic tension and some comic relief. And obviously it sort of plays out later on in the episode. But good Lord, like, you know, this cleaver on the shoulder thing, like, I think if it were like you or I, like, that's it. We're out. But Bob, like, it's a flesh wound.
Yeah. He's like Darth Maul. Hate preserves him.
Right. It's completely. He really is on a mission. He really does have a heart of darkness.
I will say I love the music during the shootout. Really fun. I think that it added sort of a whimsical layer to it, even though people were like dying during it.
Right.
I do like that she immediately gets one of the henchmen.
Yeah, right.
And then
the more stupid one, I guess.
Right. Maybe. And then they get the shootout and she has all her guns hidden throughout the house. That was a super nice detail. I think that was very characteristic of her.
Yep. Yeah.
Really great scene overall. I mean, I like that the only thing that got her was somebody she really didn't expect.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We kind of in the back of our minds knew that Bob was lurking out there, but yeah, she had no idea that Bob was there. She just suddenly has like, they know their cover is blown and they're trying to get out. And then, yeah, she's focused on the immediate visible threat, not the hidden one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Ava is somebody who plans for everything, but she can't plan for the dead to come back to life.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Is that a spoiler?
I don't think so, because you know, Bob says several times they left him for dead.
Oh, that's right. Right. And they're surprised, right? Yeah, there's like a surprise when...
Right.
Yeah, so...
Everybody's surprised that Bob is alive.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. After threatening to kill Ava, Bob gets Teresa to call Leo. Leo gives Bob the rest of the money they have left and tells them that they don't have the bond. Bob forces Leo to give him Stan's location, and Leo arranges a meetup. Leo, Ava, and Teresa are taken hostage.
Ugh, messy, 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 messy stuff.
Yep.
Was there a code there? That was a code, like Leo and Stan had some code set up?
Leo and Ava, I think, had everyone given a code name in the book. So he was Porky, I think.
Right.
Because he's a butcher. He's a former butcher.
Oh, okay. Got it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Leo makes a comment like, once a butcher.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Because at the beginning of the, well, the beginning, when what is the beginning? But anyway, one of the early episodes, there is the fact that Stan is involved in food, in meat processing.
Yeah. And he says to Judy when he's like, I lost everything. He's like, I gave up the butcher shop. So they do drop these in if you're watching this as your first episode, which I think is a good technique.
It's tough to podcast about this, man. There's so many spoilers at this point.
It sure is. But we've only got one more non-spoiler episode left after this. So let's finish this
Soldier
up.
On.
Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to do some montages.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And we're back and ready to drive down Montage Boulevard. Bob drives all night to get to Stan and Judy. Leo and Ava share a tender moment in the hostage situation. The hostages escape their bonds, and then Bob, Judy, Stan, and the FBI all arrive at the Smashing Crab.
The Smashing Crab.
Yeah, so Bob is just being fueled by rage at this point, right? First of all, how long has he been awake? I guess he slept a little bit before... Oof. He got to Ava and Leo's house.
Right.
But how much did he really sleep? Because he was writing letters half the night.
Right.
So this guy's running on like no sleep. He's not critically thinking. Not that he had much of that in him to begin with.
Mm.
And he's just bleeding from the shoulder.
Blood loss.
Ready to get some more blood.
Gosh. Yeah. Driven. He's a driven man.
Okay. I will say this too. With Stan and Judy getting ready, I have in the back of my head that Bob says to his henchmen, hey, if I don't give you a call by 10:15, shoot the rest of them.
Right. Yeah. That would be standard operating procedure.
Fine. We can be late. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, Leo's going to die because of
they're being late. Her makeup. Right. Exactly.
So stupid. And that did not happen, thankfully. Next montage. The FBI try to arrest Bob and kill him in a shootout while Stan eats his 8 lengua tacos. Ava and Teresa die in a shootout with the henchmen, but Leo kills him and escapes. Judy finds Bob's car and the money and decides to leave Stan, it seems like. Leo holds Ava's body alone.
Yeah, this is where it's tough. Like, that we lose Ava, we lose Teresa. Like, I was kind of upset at that because I was hoping that Ava was going to be badass enough to be able to kill this stupid henchman once and for all. Like, it really annoys me that, like, that guy, like, got a shot off on her and killed her. That really, it's sad because Ava is such a cool operator.
Right. But Ava inflicts a lot of pain too. And I mean, part of this is luck, and their luck ran out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everybody's luck ran out, right, in this episode. And that's, I think, the hard part about this is that, yeah, they're all getting some sort of just desserts, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I'll say this, though. I wish I enjoyed my food as much as Stan enjoys lengua tacos.
Hey, man. Got to get those lengua tacos.
I got nothing to say about lengua.
Yeah, nothing to say about that.
I will say this. Do you think that Judy did leave Stan? Is that what they were telegraphing to us?
Yeah, I think she probably just bails on the whole situation, right? Like, she's just done with this thing. And probably, if she were to stick with Stan, like, there'd always be some memory of the heist and of Bob and the whole thing attached to being with Stan. So I think she's probably finally exercising some good judgment here and just saying F it to everything and just hitting the road.
Okay, counterpoint.
Yeah.
If Stan had used a napkin for his tacos, she would have stayed. The last thing she looks at before she looks at the open road and seems to look like she's going to leave is Stan taking monstrous bites of these tacos.
Right.
And just dripping grease down his face.
She's like,
Stan,
enough of
get
this.
A napkin. They're free. They're free, man. Just get some napkins.
Maybe that's what turned her off originally in the first place. Maybe Bob is a little bit more tidy when it comes to eating his meals.
It could be, even with one hand.
So Bob finally gets his comeuppance.
He does. He does.
We're done with Bob. Thank God.
Did you like the pink effect on the sand as he dies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was and all throughout the season and all the episodes, the uses of color. Like, that's the kind of stuff I like. So if you do that, I'm a sucker for it. So yeah, I enjoyed the whole bleed out scene and the pink thing. Yeah, it was well done.
Yeah, I thought that was good. Leo and Ava and Teresa, let's talk about that. That's sad.
Yes. What a mess.
What does Leo even do from here?
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, who does he have left? Like, if you've got to have seen some other episode at this point. Hopefully this is not your first episode. But yeah, he's only got one person left, and that's his daughter, right?
I mean, that's a pretty big person to have left, though. Daughter, granddaughter, I mean,
right?
You know, maybe just make that be enough, man.
But it's a pretty dead-end road that they all traveled down.
Leo's path finally led to destruction.
Is that the morality of the, you know, like, both he and Roger, you know, like, okay, so they're happy-go-lucky sort of thieves, and when Leo turns his mind to vengeance, like, what does that get him? It burns everything down in his life.
Well, because they hurt people along the way, and then those people need vengeance, and it's just a circle of vengeance.
Right, right. So I guess if that's the moral message of this is, like, yeah, vengeance is not what you think it is.
It's an eye for an eye leaves everyone blind, basically. Yep.
There you go.
Okay, sometime later, Leo video calls and apologizes to Hannah, who introduces him to his granddaughter, Lily. Leo says after he takes care of some things, he will visit them.
All right. So, yeah, it's set up for the white episode, obviously, and lots of connections back to other episodes. Because if this is your first one, do we really know who Hannah is or what her relationship to the whole heist situation really was?
Right. Does she even know about it? If you know, who knows? Who knows?
Right.
So Nizan will not let go of the case and the triplet investigation. Later, she gives a stranger directions and falls down and dies a few steps later. Her partner mourns her in her office.
So I do have to say that, like, this little bit is foreshadowed in another episode, and that the fact that these triplets are so powerful that they could actually hire an assassin who can, you know, tap you on the shoulder on a busy street, and the next thing you're dead. So clearly, and a tragic end for Nizan, right? Like, you know, we know that she's a mother and she's dealing with a lot of stuff and was a good agent in many ways, right? Tough end for Nizan. No happy endings here.
No happy endings, except maybe for Toby, her partner.
Right.
Leo visits Roger and they share a Slim Jim. Roger admits he searched for Hannah for years and gave her something to reach for. Roger and Leo debate why Ray did it, and Roger calls himself Leo's excuse. Roger asks if it was worth it. Leo asks if Roger could have saved Lily that night. He says, I don't know.
Again, tough if you've not seen any of the other episodes what this whole conversation is about. But yeah, having our two protagonists having a heart-to-heart, I really liked that they included this scene in the series, because I think it was really important that we have the closure between Roger and Leo, and one way or another. And I like that they chose to do it in this face-to-face meeting.
Yeah. I will say this, though, is like, this was meaningful because I've watched most of the other episodes at the point seen this.
Agreed.
It's not at all meaningful if you watch this as the first thing.
No. Yeah.
Like, who is this guy, Roger?
Right. And it goes to our criticism of the series of, like, you could have a lot of fun mixing up the orders of these things, but, like, lock it down. Don't make it this, you know, this randomized, silly game.
Right.
It would have been a better story if they had just given us an order, no matter what that order was.
Agreed. Like, I've compared it to Vonnegut with Slaughterhouse-Five. Like, you can be artistic with time jumps, but you have to
absolutely
intentionally do them. You have to do them in a way that tells the story with the themes that you want to link.
Right.
So lastly, Leo walks through a park and a mysterious figure points a gun at him from behind and shoots after the fade out.
Can I just say, I've walked in this tunnel before. This is in Prospect Park. We used to live just not 10 minutes away.
Ah, I've been to Prospect Park, but I don't think I've been to that tunnel.
Yeah, it's up at the top at sort of orientation. It's near Grand Army Plaza.
Ah, okay.
And when our child was born, I spent a lot of time in that park walking the stroller, stroller walking with other dads. And so, it was nice to see that tunnel. Anyway.
The botanical garden over there is really wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah. We used to go there quite a lot too. So, well, great summer night festivals and things like that at the botanical gardens. Yeah. But I digress. mysterious figure. Do we talk about this? Who is this mystery? We have to talk about this, right?
I know who it is, but I don't think that we know in this, so let's just leave it for now.
Really? We can't talk about it?
We can't talk about it. We'll talk about it on the White episode.
All right. But it was, I thought it was a bold choice to have this mysterious figure do what they did.
Yep.
And in some ways, I'm glad that Ray, aka Leo, that his sort of journey is at an end. His suffering is at an end, and it's just done.
If only because Netflix can't cancel the show now.
We were never getting a season two.
Either this guy was going to shoot Ray in the head, or Netflix was going to shoot Kaleidoscope in the head.
Netflix likes to shoot a lot of shows in the head these days.
It's true. It's true. No one's
digression. Safe. No one, no. That's another digression. But I just the fact that, like, it's like, okay, you know, Leo's struggle is over and is tragic. It's a very tragic story, this Kaleidoscope. Like, everybody dies. It's a little bit sad.
Well, Stan and Judy don't, but they also don't have a lot going on either.
Right.
All right. So I think that's it for our recap. Overall, I would say this was one of the better episodes in the series. Still not great. But good. solidly good.
Good, actually. You know, they did spend a lot of time and effort on that shootout scene, so that got a thumbs up for me. It was, I mean, you know, okay, say what you will about shootouts, right? Scary as hell, but like, it was a funny action scene. I enjoyed watching it. So yeah, I definitely thumbs up for that.
Yeah. Production value, very good this episode. Even the story was pretty good this episode. Dialogue was pretty good.
Yeah, agreed.
Everything felt very natural here. So I wish the rest of the series lived up to this, but it didn't. And here we are.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so we've got two more episodes of Kaleidoscope after this. And on the white episode, we're going to be doing feedback. So make sure you go to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com if you want to email us, or you can go to thelorehounds.com/contact if you want to submit a form or leave us a voicemail. We'll play it live on air.
Yeah, cool. New feature. So we've got red and white, right? That's what's left.
That's right. Okay. And white, we're going full spoilers. We're finally going to take the chains off.
Gosh. And then we're going to combine that with our season wrap.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't have enough to say to justify a full season wrap podcast.
No. We've said a lot of it throughout all of these episodes. So.
It's true. It's true. That's the problem with these binge shows, is it's hard to like develop your show. It's hard to develop your thoughts over a period of time.
Yeah. And especially one that we've had to silo from each other. So we can't talk about other episodes. It's been an interesting experience. I will give it that. Junior podcaster, an up-and-coming junior podcaster, it's been a good experience for us to try to navigate our way through this, figure out the logistics of it, change it. This is all season wrap stuff. I'm spilling my beans for the season wrap. But anyway.
Well, it's a lovely experience that I will never do again.
Fair enough. Should we thank our patrons?
We should thank our patrons. So we've got our Loremaster patrons. That's our highest tier on Patreon. Samartian, Mark H., and Michael G., you guys are the real heroes. That's Homelander from The Boys. No, really, it's great. Thank you so much for supporting us. We spend a lot of time on these podcasts, and we've been doing a lot lately, and we're glad that people are liking it. And this helps us make more podcasts and helped us justify adding The Last of Us to our coverage. So thank you again for allowing us to serve you and allowing us to fill your ears and your time.
Yeah, and thank you to all our patrons, because as John said, your guys' support helps us actually be able to sort of create the kind of quality product that we really care about and that we're having fun doing. So thank you so much.
All right. So at the time you hear this episode, we've put out our first podcast on The Last of Us on HBO. So we're doing full coverage alongside Jim and Aaron doing their full coverage on their feed. If you want to get feedback into us, it's TLOU, The Last of Us, at thelorehounds.com, or again, you can go to our website, thelorehounds.com/contact, and leave us a voicemail or a text message. Besides Kaleidoscope and The Last of Us, we have our next episode of Silmarillion Stories, covering of the beginning of Days and of Ale and Yavanna, coming out on Monday the 30th. And on Friday, February 3rd, we'll have a Star Wars episode out with our thoughts on the first 5 episodes of The Bad Batch Season 2, and more news about our upcoming show coverage and general Star Wars chatter.
I've been enjoying Bad Batch Season 2 so far. Episode 3 was really good. I really enjoyed it. So absolutely. I'm excited to talk about it.
Really great episode. It was very Clone Warsy. In fact, we have to talk offline, but that they actually reference like a fairly fleshed out Clone Wars storyline in this episode.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. We even have some Padme stuff coming into this.
Oh, no.
You don't like Padme?
Well, no, you know, I'm just reacting to the original, the trilogy of movies that George did. So.
Oh, yeah, no.
Padme herself, I have no issues.
All right. That's all we have for you tonight, folks. So thank you so much, and we will see you on the next episode. The Lorehounds podcast is produced by The Lorehounds and published by Bald Move. You can get ad-free and early versions of these episodes at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Connect with us on Twitter at @thelorehounds.
You can send questions and feedback about this podcast to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com.
Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.